Thank you, Arnold. Thank you, band. Man, that was good. That Hallelujah, Grace Like Rain, man, that's my jam. I love that song. Thank y'all for playing that. Well, good morning. Man, that light is bright. I'm trying to adjust here. It's all right. I can't see y'all. That's okay. So I want to start out a little bit different today before I begin my message. I got something I want to tell you about. And David's already talked about it a little bit, but I wanna wait on that slide though. There we go. So I just want to come right out of the gate with this verse this morning. I want to read this to you. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now this verse, along with a few other verses in the Gospels, make up what we know as the Great Commission. And it's one of the most significant passages in the Bible, mainly because it's the last recorded personal instruction given by Jesus to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. And it's also a special calling from Jesus Christ to all of his followers to take specific action while on this earth. He told us to go and make disciples. Now, as many times, and I'm about to get real emotional, all right, if y'all hadn't figured that out already. As many times as I have stood on this platform over the last 10 years, I have never been more excited, I've never been more humbled, and I've never been more nervous to speak to you than I am today. Because you see, on September the 15th, just about a month or so ago, after 9 days of pretty intensive training, some long days, Missy and I were given a charge, and we took vows, and we were commissioned as full-time missionaries with Crew Military under the covering of Campus Crusade for Christ. Now, before we went to training, we put the cowboy hat out, and so I want to say thank you to all of you who gave when we put the cowboy hat out and helped us get to training. And I want to thank all of you that have already come alongside of us as monthly ministry partners to support us financially. We are forever grateful for your gracious generosity. We could not do this without you. Now, David mentioned a little bit, but I kind of want to tell you what this means, because some people are not really sure what we're doing. Some people thought we had already moved because we disappeared for a little while we were going to training. So I'm going to make a few direct statements just to clear some things up. Somebody asked me if we were going on a mission trip. Well, not exactly. It's kind of an extended thing, all right? Somebody even asked me if I was starting my own church. I'm like, not exactly. But here's what all this means. We are going to sell our house sometime soon, and we're going to move to the Columbus-Fort Benning area. And when we get there, our full-time jobs, we will work every day as our full-time jobs to minister to soldiers and their families at their greatest point of need. And listen, we have never been more sure of anything in our lives that this is what God wants us to do. Missy's already closed down her part in the spa that she co-owned with Holly Holder. My last day at my job is October the 31st. But our first task and the biggest challenge that we face right now is to raise a team of monthly ministry partners. As soon as that team is complete, we can report to Fort Benning and get to work. So like David said, if you would be encouraged to hear about what God is doing through Crew Military and how you can partner with us to fulfill the Great Commission at Fort Benning, Georgia, you've got that contact card in your bulletin. You can fill that out. You can drop it in the box in the back. You can give it to me or Missy or or David or anybody after the service, we would love to share with you our vision and calling. But let me say this. I promised myself I wouldn't do this, but we're going to miss y'all. We're going to miss y'all. Because God has used you, the people of North Point, to help us grow in our faith over the last 10 years, to teach us how to walk in love and to help us be more like Jesus. Listen, we're blessed with a wonderful pastor. You know, Jim says all the time that he pastors the best church in the world, right? But I think we can all agree that we have the best pastor in the world. He's a friend. He's an encourager. He challenges us to move forward in our faith, to trust God for more than we can see. And he extends us the grace to walk that out and even mess it up sometimes. Listen, we've got a board of elders here that absolutely have a servant's heart. It just amazes me. And over the course of the last 10 years, they have become some of our nearest and dearest friends. God has given me and Missy here a multitude of mentors, James and Carolyn Collins and Miss Jackie and Miss Hattie and many, many more, those that have taught us the value of submission and obedience in our daily walk with God. And not only that, they taught us how to submit. And you know, people like James and Carolyn give me and Missy hope. Because just like them, me and Missy married at 17 and 20, and they're working on a lot of years, so they give us hope, amen? And for all of the people that have locked arms and locked shields with us and stood shoulder to shoulder with us in men's ministry in the Forge and women's ministry with GLOW, God has used our time here to prepare us for what he's called us to do. So I want to say thank you to the people of North Point. Thank y'all for what you mean to us and what you've meant to our lives and us as a couple and even individuals. And we're going to miss y'all. We really are. But we have to go. We have to go. There's a fire burning in our hearts. And we have to respond to God's call on our life. We have to go. But we're going to miss y'all. All right? Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this time, God. God, I thank you for this opportunity, God. Lord, I pray right now that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would open our hearts and open our ears and open our eyes. And I pray, God, that we would ask ourselves today, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me today? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So at this point, you might be asking, Jeff, how did you and Missy know what God wanted y'all to do? Missy said this is not what she thought our midlife crisis was going to look like. All right? But how did we know what God wanted us to do? So if we're committed followers of Jesus Christ, I think by far, hands down, the most common question we ask ourselves go something like this. What does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? What does he want me to do? So today I want to focus on the what and the do. What does God want me to do? What and do? And I want to try to answer two big questions today. When it comes to God's will, what does God care about? So we're going to look at two thoughts that are really important as to what God cares about when it comes to his will for our life. So the first one is this, if you're taking notes. God cares about who before do. He cares about who before do. When it comes to the will of God for our life, God cares more about who we are than what we're going to do vocationally. He cares about who before do. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us this. What is God's will? I want to know what God's will is for my life. What is God's will? God's will is for you to be an accountant. That's not what it says, right? It doesn't even say missionary, does it? It doesn't even say that. What is God's will for you? Say it out loud with me. It is to be holy. It is to be holy. What is God's will? God's will for you and I is more about the who first than it is the do later. God's will is for us to be holy, to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now that Greek word translated as holy there is hagios. And it means to be set apart. It means to be different. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're not to look and act like this world. You are not to be driven by the values of this world. You are not to live for what this temporary world deems as important. You are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And listen, it's not a destination, because we never arrive. Instead, we're moving in a direction, and we're moving towards Jesus, and we're becoming more like Him. In fact, when you look at Jesus and the things He talked about, what's interesting to me is that Jesus doesn't really talk about people's careers. So what does He talk about? He talks about the who more than the do. Jesus doesn't really talk about vocational career. Jesus talks about character, and Jesus talks about calling. In fact, the only time that Jesus brought up somebody's job, when He would do that, He would say things like, I'm inviting you to leave that job to follow Me. Because who you're following, which is Jesus, is even more important than what you're doing vocationally. It's who before do. Who before do? So the question that people ask is this: what does God want me to do? What and do? Here's a better question. Write this down. Here's the better question. Who does God want me to become? Who does God want me to come? If you'll start there, if you'll start with that truth, the who, that will eventually lead you to the right do when you're becoming who God wants you to be. To Jesus, the who comes before the do. So for example, let me ask you a question, and I hope that you're kind to me. How many of you would say that, Jeff, it's probably God's will that you and Missy be missionaries to the United States military? How many of you would say that? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you. You're so kind, but I'm going to argue with you a minute. I'm going to argue that being a missionary is His secondary purpose and will for us. His primary purpose is that I'm holy. His primary will is more about my character than it is my job. A missionary is what we're going to do, but it is not who we are. Because see, I could be a missionary and be out of God's will if my heart is not right with Him and my character is weakening. For example, if I'm leading discipleship groups with soldiers as a missionary with Crew Military, and I'm abusive to my wife, I'm not in God's will, right? Not in God's will. If I preach a really good message today, and I am rude to the waitress at Cracker Barrel later, I'm not in God's will. If I'm a charismatic leader, and I get a lot of things done, but I don't pay my bills, and I'm irresponsible with money, and I don't live up to my responsibilities, I'm not in God's will. Why is that? Because who matters before do? Who before do? Who I am as a person. And listen, I believe that God would rather me do anything than be a missionary if I cannot be a missionary with integrity. God would rather me do anything with a pure heart before Him than to do something that appears spiritual and live with ongoing unconfessed sin in my life. God is more concerned with the who before the do. Who before do? Y'all excuse me. I'm getting over a cold. Pray for me. I might lose my voice. Who before do? So listen, God has been working on me and Missy for a long time now, conforming us into the likeness of Christ. He's been working on our who. Now, we haven't arrived. We're not perfect. Never going to be. We haven't reached a destination, but we are continually moving in that direction. He is continually working on our who. And now he has called us to be missionaries to the military at Fort Benning, Georgia, and he has led us to our do. Who before do? Now, how does this apply to you? Should I stay in this place or should I take a job somewhere else? It doesn't matter where you are. Be a faithful follower of Jesus there. Do what God would call you to do as you're working there. Focus on who you are. Be the right who when you're working there and serve Jesus there. Maybe you're a college student. You say, should I major in business or elementary ed? Listen, whatever you major in, make sure you're serving Jesus there. Before you think about the do in the future, think about the who in the present. All right? Instead of saying, what do you want me to do in the future, God? Who do you want me to become in the present is a better question. Start with the who. Move in the direction of being conformed in the image of Jesus. Step by step, we're following after him and becoming more like him. What does God care about? What is God's will? God's will is who before do. Who before do. And the second thing is this, if you're taking notes. God's will is why before what. His will is why before what. Listen, motives matter to the heart of God. Motives matter to the heart of God. Scripture says it this way in Proverbs 16:2. It says that you may think everything you do is right. In other words, we have the unbelievable ability to deceive ourselves. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. So you may think that everything you do is right, but the Lord judges your motives. Motives matter to God. In fact, there's an old saying that says that there's two reasons why we all do something. There's a reason we tell everybody, and then there's a real reason. There's a reason we say, and then there's the real reason. Motives matter. Now listen, for over 10 years, I retired from the Army over 10 years ago. And ever since that time, Missy and I have always felt a pull back to the Army community. That's our people. That's our culture, that warrior culture. And for years, we have tried to find a way back. But it never worked out. We had our why wrong. We were doing it for ourselves. We had our why wrong. And then when God led us in that direction and we realized that we could marry together the two things that we love the most, and that's God and soldiers. And we realized that we could be in full-time ministry, winning soldiers to Christ, building them up in the faith, and sending them out so that every soldier knows another soldier who is a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. You see, we got our why right. We got our why right. Look at Galatians 1:10. It says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Anytime that I pray that back to God, it's a really powerful prayer, and I ask him to show me if I'm trying to please people or am I pleasing him. And it makes me very aware of how often my motives are not what they should be. If I take the time to just really be honest before God, and I pray that back to him, I become distinctly aware that sometimes my motives can be more me-centered than Christ-centered or other-centered. It's about what I want. Here's the problem. It's impossible to get to the right place when you have the wrong motives. It is impossible to end up in the right destination when you start with the wrong why, because the why really matters to God. Motives matter. Examine your motives. What is God's will? What does God want me to do? You're going to buy that car. Why are you going to buy that car? Are you buying it because you can afford it and you want reliable transportation, or are you trying to make a statement? Boy, nobody said amen to that. If you're complimenting someone, is it because you're sincere or because you want them to think better of you? If you're posting a photo on social media, is it because you want to share something meaningful to you and point to the goodness of God, or because you want everybody to think, wow, look how cool they are? What's the motive? What's the motive behind it? Why before what? Who before do? Why before what? Who before do? Paul said it powerfully. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? This is what Paul said in Colossians 3:17. He said, and whatever you do. Y'all say that out loud with me. Paul said, and whatever you do. One more time. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, whether you're an entry-level worker or you're running a company, whether you're a student or you're the teacher in class, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, what do? We do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, wherever you are, serve Christ there. Wherever you live, serve Him there. Wherever you're working, serve Him there. You may say, I'm just a stay-at-home mom, and I'm up to my neck in laundry and dirty diapers. But listen, you wash that laundry, and you change those diapers for the glory of God. That's the cleanest laundry and the most poop-free baby butt crack ever. Right? Why? Because you're praying for your child, you're discipling your child, and I know that's a difficult season, but you're doing it with the right motives. You may say, I'm just a student, but I've got aspirations one day. I'm going to do something big. Listen, be faithful when you're doing something small long before you expect something big. Serve Jesus where you are. You say, one day I'm going to be a missionary overseas. Be a missionary in your biology class right where you are right now. Be faithful where you are. One day I'm going to do something, but I'm just an entry-level fast food worker. I'm the fry guy. Listen, you do fries better than anybody's ever done fries. You do fries, and then one day you'll be flipping burgers, and you do burgers, and you do them well for the glory of God. Wherever you are, instead of saying, God, what's that big thing you have out there? Serve Jesus right here. Serve Him right here. When you serve Jesus right here, it helps you get to the right there. Amen? So here's a mistake that's easy for us to make. Sometimes we look at somebody who's really successful and we think they must have made a few really big decisions that helped them become successful. And that's really not the case at all. There are thousands of daily decisions. You see, somebody who's faithfully making a difference from God, there are countless decisions daily of denying self, of dying to self, day after day. Who before do, why before what? When we get those right, God leads us step by step into the right places. God is calling you. And God's will is who before do and why before what. In fact, I want to tell you that there are some people in this church that have been very influential in mine and Missy's life. And there's so many people whose character and motives, their who and their why. So many people, their character and their motives have influenced me and Missy over the last 10 years. And I mentioned a few of them in the beginning. Our pastor's one of them. He shattered the way that I thought about church. So many, many people. Those of you that give and serve and give and serve and give and serve here in this church, in the nursery, on the cleaning team, helping serve the ladies at GLOW, pulling carts at the Impact Center, teaching kids in Awanas, coaching upwards basketball, doing all those things behind the scenes without any personal glory, and you're serving without reluctance, reward, or recognition. And you keep doing it over and over again, serving time after time as you follow Jesus and you let Him work on your who as He leads you to your do. So many givers in this church. So many silent servants that are serving without reluctance, reward, or recognition. So if that's you, let me say this to you today. God sees you. God sees you, and He knows. Some people say, what does God want me to do? A better starting place is, who does God want me to become? Think about Jesus. Think about what He endured. The people that He came to love, they hated Him. They tortured Him brutally beyond measure. He didn't look like a human being, and then they killed Him. How do you think that He endured that? Why do you think He didn't call angels from heaven? How did He do what He did? He did what He did because He knew who He was. He knew why He came. Who was He? He was the Son of God, God in the flesh, here to bring freedom and life. Why did He come? He came not to be served. God in the flesh came to serve others. He came to give His life as a ransom for others. How did He do what He did? He knew who He was, and He knew why He came. Who before do, why before what? Listen, when you want to do something big in the future, be who God calls you to be today. I want to do something big for God. Do something small today. Because listen, the Bible teaches us when you're faithful in a little, guess what? God will trust you with much. Know who you are. You're a child of God. And listen, remember, for some of you, God's will for you is more of a someone than a something. It is a someone now rather than a something out there. It's a person. Listen, you say, I want a calling. Here's a calling. Love. Love is your calling. Love one another. You want a calling? Here's another one. Serve. Serve one another. Listen, you are never more like Jesus than when you are serving others. Amen? Listen, there are plenty of opportunities to serve one another in this church today. Plenty of opportunities. Don't be a consumer Christian. Find a place to serve. Find a place to serve. Listen, when you look at the teachings of Jesus, there's not much about career. It's all about people. Love God and love people. That's the greatest command. We talked about the Great Commission. That's the great command. Love God, love people. That's a reflection of who we are. Listen, here's the power. Here's the power. When you get the who right, you do more. When you get the why right, the what has power. Instead of obsessing with what's out there, be faithful with what's right here. And when you're faithful with what's right here, you'll end up at the right there. Man plans his purposes, but God directs the steps. That's why when I'm being conformed to the image of Jesus, I don't have to worry about the future like Jesus says, because He's going to take me step by step in the right direction. Two big thoughts I want to end with. And everything leads to this. So if you're taking notes, here's two things you need to understand. Number one, if you're becoming the right who, God will help you choose the right do. Let me say that again. If you're becoming the right who, God will help you choose the right do. Number two, if you're driven by the right why, God will lead you to the right what. If you're driven by the right why, God will lead you to the right what. And I'm closing now if the band wants to come. So listen, are y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? I'm going to say something else here. Y'all ready? Whatever you do, wherever you live, whatever your job, whatever your current status in life is right now, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't worry about the do out there. Worry about the who right here. And Jesus will lead you to the right do when you get the right who. It's not about us. It's about us conforming to the image of Jesus, and that He will guide our steps. And when He does, and we're experiencing this right now, He will do exceedingly, abundantly more in and through you than you could ever ask, think, or imagine when you're faithful today. Don't obsess with what's out there. Be faithful with what's right here. and He will lead you to the right there. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank You, Lord, for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would always move in the direction of being conformed to His image, God. And we ask today, God, that You do miracles in who we are. And God, I pray that I would never focus on my vocation and not my character, that I would get the who right before You. And that, God, that wherever there's sin in our life, that wherever there's a lack of the fruit of the Spirit, we bring this before You, God. And we ask for healing. God, we ask for forgiveness, God. And God, I pray that we focus on the what, God, and that our motives would be right, that we would live for You in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.